Have you found yourself shaking your head, throwing up your hands, and as in witnessing the chaos all around us, on the job stress, raising gas prices, supply chain shortage, COVID deaths? What can you and I do in these last days that brings credence to where we are in history? But Jesus says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. I'm talking to somebody who feels that this pandemic has them isolated, stressed, and they believe that the perilous times are it. But Jesus is, and he always will be, for his children. I know you're tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing all the madness and the chaos around me. We've been here too long. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares, if he had not shortened the time, even the very elect would not make it. What am I saying this morning, church family? What I'm simply saying is that you and I have to hold on. I am forever grateful to be in this space this morning. Good morning, E-Chorus and Ipsy. It is a wonderful day. It is the day that the Lord has made. The Bible declares, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Make no mistake about it. The way that we are doing church today is quite different. You can see me. I can't see you. But nonetheless, I know that you are with me. Praise God on this day, to whom all blessings flow. You know, before I get into it, I have to be honest. I'm at home, and I'm forever grateful for this opportunity to be speaking this morning. We are living in some difficult times, but nonetheless, Christ is still with his people. Come on, somebody. Christ is still with his people, and he's still, guess what, with his church. So with that being said, I just want to thank my colleague, my friend, my pastor, the individual who actually married my wife and I, Dr. Liverpool, for allowing me to speak this morning. I just want to thank everyone who has been praying for me and continue to pray for me as I do the work inside of the hospital, which is St. Joseph on the east side of Detroit. I have seen more COVID and more deaths than you could even imagine. And you know, in these last days, it truly gives us a sense and a reminder of how short life is. But thanks be to God for having me here this morning with you. With that being said, I just want to go ahead and get into the Word of God this morning, if that is okay. Not going to take much of your time, but there is a word from the Lord this morning. With that being said, let us pray. Kind Father, thank you so much. Bless us now as we tabernacle together with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm looking at the passage here, and I thank my dear sister for reading so eloquently. And I want to read just briefly, if I could, just two specific passages that I believe speak to us as it relates to where we are in history. Isaiah 40, verse 31, you know it well. It says, let those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now get this. 1 Kings 19:9 says this, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here? Interesting question with respects to where the prophet finds himself. Where are you this morning, E-Course in Ipsy? The pandemic lingers. Even though we're in a new year, what was for some of us continues to be a stark reality of what is. And may I suggest to you that what is indicative of what is to come. The Bible reminds us in the teachings of Matthew 24, as Christ our God is dialoguing with his disciples. And Jesus answered and said to them, Ipsy and E-Chorus, that let no one mislead you. Let me say it again, let no one mislead you. Now the statement, considering that God is speaking, is worthy of our attention. Let's consider, if you will, let no one mislead you. To be misled in this context, my beloved, simply means three things: stop, don't, and let. and stop wandering about like one who has no guidance. Don't stray away from the biblical truth in these last days, and let no man or woman nor tangible thing cloud your judgment. The biblical account continues to share with us a very descriptive and itemized list of what is to come before Christ returns. Now, as important as the list is, and I would encourage you to read it at your earliest, for our time together, I would like to focus for a moment, if you would allow me, on the phrase mislead you. It's clear to me, my brothers and sisters, that we're living in some misleading times. Thomas Paine, the great philosopher, reminds us that these are times that what? Try men's souls. These are times that should be seen in the context of a soon and imminent return of Christ. These times, ladies and gentlemen, are serious times. These times, ladies and gentlemen, are trying times. These times, Luke reminds us, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads. Why? Because your redemption draws now. Now, I know that there's someone listening to me and they're saying, but Pastor, I know that these are some serious times, but what are we supposed to do? Just hang in there. I'm going to give you the antidote. Misleading, misguided, mischievous, and I would even add malicious are the days, ladies and gentlemen, in which we live. Let me remind you of the times. Consider, if you will, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. In some 30-something state, legislation has been implemented with respects to making voting more difficult. Let me give it to you plain. In Georgia, in the state of Georgia, what they just did not too long ago, Dr. Liverpool, if you're waiting outside in the hot, scorching sun, and I know because I used to reside in Georgia, if you find yourself waiting in that hot, scorched sun, and you know me and you are some black folks, so you know that sun sometimes doesn't do us any good. If someone brings you a bottle of water, that's considered somewhat of a misdemeanor or a felony. See, what I've realized that in these days, the legislative laws may not be legislated for people like me and you. Bipartisan support out the window. In one of the most critical bills of the century, all Democrats voted in favor, all Republicans against the bill. Now, need I remind you that when Mr. Lewis was here on this earth, there were people smiling and grinning in his face. But, Ecos, let me tell you something. In Ipsy, everybody who smiles in your face is not your friend. Someone once told me that just because he is your skin doesn't mean that he is your kin. Consider, if you will, church family, the days in which we live. January the 6th, 2021, just a year ago this month, the Capitol attack, to which legislators were hunted down by a privileged mob in an attempt to overthrow the electoral votes. Some misguided souls chose to downplay the attack, and I quote from the Washington Post, "Our hearts and minds are with the people being persecuted so unfairly related to January the 6th protests concerning this rigged presidential election." Misleading and misguided politicians. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere now. I'm just getting started. The pandemic of our time has brought out the best of folk and the worst of folks. School board meetings are becoming hostile as a vocal minority believes that it's an infringement toward their civil liberties to wear or not wear a mask. Now, let me just slow it down a little bit. I work in the hospital and I'm inside of COVID rooms more so than you could ever imagine. I just had a situation that happened to me where a 23-year-old with no underlying conditions was on the phone at 7. He coded at 7:10. At 7:20, he was deceased. To wear or not wear a mask. You know what's interesting? God gives us knowledge. And sometimes we can be so educated, so uppity Negroes, that we can't even follow the simple directions to wear or not wear a mask. Just as early as last week, a misguided soul took to the podium at a school board meeting, and I quote, "My children will not come to school on Monday with a mask. That's not happening, and I will bring every single gun loaded and ready," end of quote. I believe it was the late Marvin Gaye who said, "What in the world is going on?" Yes, what's going on? What's going on, my friends, is that the all-knowing, all-creator God is preparing to make his entrance. However, until he comes, may I suggest to you that we need to be unmovable and strengthened in these days of high PTSD. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm simply referring to perilous times and stressful days. Perilous times and stressful days. I am thinking and saying to myself, what would God have us to do in these days of high PTSD? Perilous times and stressful days. In the Bible, there's a plethora of stories that many of us have come to identify with. The Bible is God's inspired word that, if studied correctly, will move the people of God into action. The Bible, if you will, is God's instructions to his people, people that God died for, persons like me and you who God tends to intercede for, even when we don't intercede for one another. The Bible is one person coined it this way, God's basic instructions before leaving this earth. But in these 66 books, these inspired pages, are men and women made in flesh and in need of a redeemer? Need I remind you that anyone of us who are made in the flesh is prone to error? Anyone made in the flesh is subject to temptation. Anyone made in the flesh, Paul reminds us, wrestles against flesh and blood. But made in the flesh of Jesus, Jesus will deliver his people. What am I saying? What am I saying this morning, E-Course and Ipsley? What am I simply saying? I'm simply trying to say, family, that we are living in some stressful days. PTSD, perilous times, stressful days, is real. Have you found yourself shaking your head, throwing up your hands, and as in witnessing the chaos all around us, on the job stress, raising gas prices, supply chain shortage, COVID deaths? What can you and I do in these last days that brings credence to where we are in history? Our scripture today is a case study with respects to Elijah's high PTSD, to which I believe we can learn from. Like Elijah, who was living in a time of great apostasy, like us today, God's chosen people had lost their way, if you will. God was not the center of our life. He was in the rear view, if you will. He wasn't riding shotgun. Some young folk know what I'm talking about. He was an afterthought and not a forethought in a world obsessed with having it our way. Elijah's time is no different from our time today. The Bible says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know the story. It was a who's who among the HGIC, the head God in charge. The head God in charge, and God, who is the HGIC, decided that Elijah would be the person to get the job done. Now, you know what I find fascinating, E-Course and Ipsy, about this God of ours that we serve, that is messed up as you and I are, as conniving as we can be sometimes. I have the opportunity to sit on some of these board meetings, and some of the folk that come in and say happy Sabbath, you got to watch out for the knife, man. Because I mean, if you say something or if you have an opportunity to vote a different way, oh my God, the mess will come out. But maybe you guys haven't witnessed that. Maybe you guys have it all together over here. That's just over in my church. But guess what now? I'm looking at this God of mine, and I'm saying to myself that even in our frailties, our warped minds, poor demeanors, and our inflated egos, God still trusts us to do his work. You just missed it. You just missed it. Despite us, as messed up as us is, God says, that he still has value. God says what? That sister still has worth. I love them what? Even in their mess with an everlasting love. Although he loves us while we're in our mess, it's his desire to free us while we're in our mess. Let's look at Elijah's resume. One of the most revered prophets of all time. His nickname, the Tisbite, a boldness and a zeal to do the work of God, predicted both the beginning and the end of a 3-year drought. By the power of God, Elijah was able to resurrect a dead child and give that child back to his mother. He was who's who among the prophets, respected by God, and had the opportunity to do what we call the showdown with the priests of Baal. In other words, beloved, Elijah, for all intents and purpose, had it going on. He was all that in a bag of chips. Externally, from the naked eye, now get this, he was the man. But internally, where the seat of his emotions lie, he suffered from PTSD. Stay with me now. Perilous times, stressful days. I don't care what type of dissertation you've defended, what alphabet you have behind your name, or if you work downtown or uptown. If you live long enough like the prophet with the undisputed resume, you will suffer from this PTSD. Perilous times, people. Stressful days. But there is hope. And there's always hope in the word of God. And our hope this Sabbath is in the word of God. I know, family, you're tired of closed churches. Look at me. I'm preaching right now. And it's only me and two other people here. COVID shop, Zoom, overload. But God, who is the God of both heaven and earth, creator and sustainer, sovereign and savior, is still the HGIC. He is the head God in charge. Although these are perilous and stressful times, be not misled. God is still blessing and covering his people with an everlasting grace. Elijah, impeccable resume, but still like you and I, flesh and blood. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, that we have our days of great victory and emotional defeats. Adam had his day of emotional defeat when he was duped by Eve in the garden. Noah had his when he was drinking that Hennessy in the cave. You would get that with his two daughters. Job had his emotional defeat when he lost both his family and his 401k in all the same day. Moses had his when he committed first degree murder. Remember what the text says. He looked that way and this way, and then he committed murder, meaning that he thought about what he was doing. David had his when he took another man's wife and, get this, decided that he wanted to bump and grind with Bathsheba. Jesus had his when he said, if it be all possible, let this cup pass me by. In this world, like Elijah, we will both have victory and defeat, ladies and gentlemen. But the Bible says, be of good cheer, because God has overcome this world. Any stressors out there at home? You might be walking around now in the kitchen in your slippers. Your kids may be going haywire. Somebody may not even have that mortgage payment. Is there any stresses in the house today? Watching online and you're having a cave-like moment like the prophet Elijah. The caves of fear and the caves of anxiety and depression. The caves of economic stress. Caves of children reared in the Lord, but seem to have lost their way. May I suggest to you that God speaks to us even while we're in our isolated moments. God not only speaks, e cors ipsi, but guess what? He understands. Auntie Ellen, you guys remember her. Auntie Ellen, you remember her. She makes a compelling statement in Prophets and Kings, page 170 and 171. Auntie Ellen says this: from Elijah's experience during those days of discouragement and apparent defeat, there are many lessons to be drawn from. Lessons invaluable to the servants of God in this age, marked as it is by general departure from the right. The apostasy prevailing today is similar to that which in the prophet's day overspread Israel. In the exaltation of the human above the divine, in the praise of popular leaders, in the worship of manna, and in the placing of the teaching of science above the truths of revelation, multitude today are following after Baal. Doubt and unbelief are exercising their baleful influence over the mind and the heart, and many are substituting for the oracles of God in the theories of men. It is publicly taught that we have reached a time when human reason should be exalted above the word of God. The law of God, the divine standard of righteousness, is declared to be of no effect. The enemy of all truth is working with deceptive power to cause men and women to place human institutions where God should be and to forget that which was ordained for the happiness and the salvation of mankind. What is she saying? In other words, she's saying is that we need to be watchful. Israel days of apostasy. You remember over in the Old Testament, Ecorse and Ipsy, the Bible says in those days, everybody did what was right in their own sight. I'm talking to somebody out there this morning who's having an issue and you believe that you can't, but God is telling you that you can. I'm talking to that lady, that gentleman who believes that that cave has just been too much for them. But Jesus says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. I'm talking to somebody who feels that this pandemic has them isolated, stressed, and they believe that the perilous times are it. But Jesus is, and he always will be, for his children. I know you're tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing all the madness and the chaos around me. We've been here too long. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares, if he had not shortened the time, even the very elect would not make it. What am I saying this morning, church family? What I'm simply saying is that you and I have to hold on. Looking at some of the things that we're seeing from a public standpoint, and guess what? Even right here in the church, it makes us cringe. But the Bible said that these things would take place prior to him coming. And I know you come here every Sabbath. You might leave out the same way, but I would encourage you that there is hope in the word of God. There is hope as you peruse these pages. There is hope as you sit down and have that intimacy with him. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to turn off the idiot box and we have to sit at the feet of Jesus. I know you're tired. I'm tired. And sometimes we're on the brink of discouragement and both despair. Can I be real with you today, church? Can I be real, Ecorse and Ipsy? Depression is a real thing, man. It's a real thing. You know how many times I've had the ability to have individuals come in my office and I would have to consult them as it relates to where they are. One of my clinical training was done in behavior health, and I'm on the behavior health unit every day, and I see individuals who have no underlining issues with depression. But you know what has led them on this unit? The times in which we live in. The time, the seriousness of it all, the brevity, the weight, the perilous times, the stressful days, the irony of living in a world that seems to be hopeless. But there is hope. We just have to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Hebrews reminds us of that this God will give us that rest. You know, we will be able to call each other and be able to encourage each other, uplift each other, and share with each other that we can and still will get through this. Depression is real, even for Christians. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you because I hear this quite a bit. I'm just going to bowl down this alley if I can. Depression is real for fourth and fifth generation Adventists. Yes, yes. You know, sometimes grew up in the church, love my church, but sometimes I think we believe that we are just so immune from everything. Oh, it doesn't happen. It does. No, actually, it does. And one of the things that I would suggest to you as I stand here in this pulpit is that despite where we come from, regardless of the parochial families, regardless of how how you got over here to the U.S., you will go through something on this earth. It doesn't matter if you're Adventist, non-Adventist, Pentecostal, or Catholic. You will go through something. But guess what? You don't have to go at it alone. You don't have to go at it alone. Elijah's depression had reached its lowest point. And if you live long enough, what I've come to realize is that at the hour of some of our most greatest victories is when the enemy would try to throw us off our game. What are you saying, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Pull up a seat. Read your Bibles, Ipsy. Mount Carmel, get this, took place in chapter 18. Elijah had been exalted to the skies by the God of heaven. Now get this, Jezebel didn't start running her mouth until chapter 19. See, the victory came before Jezebel started running her mouth. But what happens to us is that we can't see the victory because we're too busy in the rear. And I would suggest to someone today that Elijah had forgot about what happened just 48 hours ago. A church of the living God, hear me on this. We have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us in the teachings and in our past history. Some of us can't get to A to B because we're still worried about what people think. Some of us can't get A to B because we were worried about how we were reared. Those family curses have to be broken. Mom wanted you to do one thing, but the Holy Spirit was moving you to do other things. And for some of us, we will never, ever realize what 2022 has to offer because we're still in the emotional baggage of 2021. Overstrained feelings mingled with depression induced by trials of everyday life led the prophet of God to the brink of wanting to die. Just last week, Regina King's son committed suicide at the tender age of 26. Peter Roberts, the first actor voice of Charlie Brown, committed suicide last week as well. The struggle, ladies and gentlemen, is real. May I suggest to you this day that no one can abide on the mountaintop forever. But we can abide with Jesus while we're facing our lowest valleys. And see, what I've come to realize is that while depressed, Jesus was still working behind the scene. While Elijah was isolated, Jesus was investigating. And see, you have to read your Bible. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to Elijah while Elijah was in the cave. What dost thou doest here leads me to believe that God is still concerned about our well-being. Even though the world can be harsh, Jesus is concerned about the whereabouts of his people. Somebody listening to me today may be in a cave of depression, coming out of a cave of depression, or headed into a cave of depression. But may I remind you that there is no demon in hell that can stop God from providing for you while you go through life caves. Jesus not only spoke to his prophet while he was isolated, he had to remind him in that still, quiet voice while you're on your knees praying, reaching, wrestling, and pleading with God. Know that God would never leave nor forsaken his own. In the passage of Isaiah 40:31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I am not a naive as I stand here on this pulpit, nor have I lost touch with reality. I know things are tight. I know the stench of bigotry is overwhelming here in America. I know black lives to some still and has never mattered, but we must wait for the Lord. Paul says in these difficult times, we need to what? Fixate our eyes upon Jesus. And Solomon said it this way, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Yes, we can get through these days. And guess what? In the words of one Barack Obama, yes, we can. I just want to share with you briefly lessons from the prophet. I'm going to take my seat. Lessons from the prophet. What do we learn from Elijah? We are never, get this, Ipsy and Ecorse, we are never close to defeat than in our moments of great victory. Let me say that again. We are never close to defeat than in moments of our great victory. What do I mean? Elijah was chosen by God to do a great work. If we look at his resume, it was an impeccable resume that would lead someone to believe that this person can do as he was called. And not to underscore, his resume was a wonderful thing, but his resume didn't dictate what was in his heart. And sometimes I believe that we can be on that mountain high for so long that we forget about the people in the valley, you know. And let me share this with you. The view from the valley, from the mountaintop, is vastly different from the view in the valley. What do I mean? View in the fields. And what do I mean by that? The perspective is different. Sometimes we see people on the corner and we begin to judge them, not knowing where those people came from or how they came. I never forget, this gentleman came in my office. This brother had 2 PhDs. But the brother said, you know what took place in my life? He said, I went through a bad marriage. And he said, it depleted everything. And here I am on the streets. Make no mistake about it. Somebody out there is just one check away from losing their home. Don't think that just because you're up on the mountain that you can't reconcile with people in the valley. Number two, although we may feel alone, God is ever present. You remember what God had to tell Elijah? And I think sometimes I have to remind myself of that. We sometimes think that we're called, we're doing this work, we're preaching here, we're teaching there. And sometimes we think that it's only us out here doing the work. But what did the Bible say? The Bible says that he had to tell Elijah while he was sleeping under that juniper tree that, Elijah, not only will I feed you, but guess what? There's still 7,000 who still has not bowed to Baal. Get this. In America in these days, it seems like that people are going far left and far right. But guess what? There are still people, Adventists, guess what? And non-Adventists who have not bowed to Baal. You know what Auntie Ellen tells us? Auntie Ellen tells us that when we decide that we're going to go out there and mingle with some of these people, she said some of the peoples that are not Adventists are going to be the people that hide us in the time of trouble. What am I saying? Relationships, people. We have to learn how to play with each other. Point number three, God speaks more frequently in persistent whispers. Remember earth, wind, and fire? No, God wasn't there. God was in that still small voice. And you know where you hear that still small voice? For me, it's up early in the morning, 3-4 o'clock. The Lord would give you some stuff, man, that he wouldn't give you otherwise unless you're tabernacling with him. Guess what? But let me give you the antidote for depression. I'm going to take my seat. Stop looking at self and look at God. Stop looking at self. You know, sometimes I believe that there's so much emphasis and so much pressure on us that we forget about that we belong to God. It's not about what people say. It's not about what people think. It's what God thinks. Stop looking at self and look at God. Number two, look to the past as a tool only and focus on the future. In other words, don't dwindle in the past. The past has never gotten us nowhere. Yes, we can learn from it, but right now we need to move forward. I like Israel moving through the wilderness. We need to what? Keep it moving. Hope is the answer, people, for depression. Careful of what you hope for. And guess what? Last two. Stop searching for reasons and start resting on God's promises. In these books, these 66 books, there are nothing but promises of God. And as you and I continue to read these promises, those promises would absorb our spirits and we'll be able to wrestle with this devil head on. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to those who believe and love Christ Jesus. We have to hold on to the promises. Stop searching for reasons and start resting on God's promises. And get this, take comfort in the fact that you are dearly loved by God. You know, I'm going to say this. You know, a story is told of a young child who grew up in foster care. And as she grew up in foster care, she was always wondering how come all of the children with her were so unloving. And she was able to gravitate to this one teacher, this one individual in that particular setting who looked at her with the eyes of Christ. In those eyes of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, Ipsy and E-Course are some eyes that sees you far beyond who you are. They're eyes that sees that internal hurt and that internal pain. And I know sometimes, even though we're in the beginning or the end of January, it seems like there's a lot of baggage that has been carried on. But wouldn't it be well with your soul if, like that child, somebody could look at us with those everlasting eyes, that somebody would look at us even despite our stuff and still say, I love them with an everlasting love. Guess what? That person is still alive, and that person is seen in the biblical account of the Word of God. So on this afternoon, as you and I consider post-traumatic stress disorder, or should I say perilous times, stressful days, know that there's a God in heaven who loves, there's a God in heaven who heals, but even in the midst of our depression, God still believes and answers the call of his people. Kind Father, I truly thank you for this opportunity to be an encouragement to someone today. To this end, Father God, we're living in some depressed days, but we're living in a day where God still heals. Bless these churches under the utterance of my voice and let them continue to fixate their eyes on Jesus. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen.